Reading in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 2, by the Vishnu Sutras, text number 40. Saha tasmin devasadane asinaha yogam astitaha pratyahita indriya gramaha yuyoja manaha atmani. Satasmin deva sadana asino yogam astitaha prachyahityandiya gramo. No, Pratya. 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 You got it? Yoja. Yoja mana atmani.
Yoja mana atmani.
Satasmin deva sadana.
Satasmin deva sadana.
Asino yogam astittaha
asito yogam astittaha
prachyahitindriya gramo
prachyahitindriya gramo
yuyoja mana atmani
yuyoja mana atmani
satasmin deva sadanna
satasmin deva sadanna
asino yogam astitaha
asino yogam astitaha
prachyahitindriya gramo
prachyahitindriya gramo
yoja mana atmani
yoja mana atmani satasmin deva sadana
satasmin deva sadana
asino yogam
asino yogam astittaha
pratyahitindriya
gramo
yuyojamana
atmani saha
saha
hi hajamiyo
hi hajamiyo
tasmin at that place
Hardwar
Devasadane
Devasadane
in one Vishnu temple asina
asina
being situated yogam astitaha
yogam astitaha
Perform bhakti yoga. Prajyahita.
Prajyahita.
Withdrawing from all activities of sense gratification.
Withdrawing from all activities of sense gratification.
Indriya gramaha.
Indriya gramaha.
His senses.
His senses.
Yuyoja.
Yuyoja.
He fixed.
He fixed.
Manaha. The mind,
atmani,
on the self or the supersoul,
on the self or the supersoul,
the supreme personality of Godhead,
the supreme personality of Godhead.
Translation: in Hardwar, Ajamiyo took shelter at a Vishnu temple, where he executed the process of bhakti yoga.
He controlled his senses and fully applied his mind in the service of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The devotees who have joined the Krishna consciousness movement may live comfortably in our many temples and engage in the devotional service of the Lord. Thus they can control the mind and senses and achieve the highest success in life. This is the process descending from time immemorial. Learning from the life of Ajamila, we should vow with determination to do what is necessary to follow this path.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Simate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paschacchade Sucharane Om Jnanam Timarandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chatsuru Niritam Jainam Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Panchkalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyevasa Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha.
So here, Ajamila, Tasmin, at that place, he went to Haridwara. Haridwara is Haridwara, also known as Gangadwara. And there, Deva Sadhana means sitting place, residing place of Deva, the Lord. Here Prabhupada says Vishnu temple, because we know he was a devotee of Lord Vishnu. As is clear from the next verse, he was worshipping Lord Vishnu. And what did he do? Yogam astitaha. He performed yoga. What kind of yoga? It's clear, it's in the Vishnu temple. Bhakti yoga. He performed bhakti yoga. Pratyahita Indriya Grama. All of his senses withdrew him from the sense objects. In the yoga process, begins yama. You follow the rules and regulations, what you shouldn't do, yama and niyama, what you should do, what you shouldn't do, yama and niyama. Asana, but then you learn how to sit in this postures, yoga asana. Then pranayama, so you learn how to control your breathing. And then pratyahara, same as here. You withdraw the senses from their objects. So this pratyahara is part of the yoga process. And then yoja mana atmani. He fixed his mind. That's the next thing in the yoga process, is fixing the mind. You withdraw the senses from the objects, then you concentrate the mind on the Supreme. So the general yoga principles are there. So in describing general yoga principles, in bhakti yoga, the application is different. Because right from the beginning in bhakti yoga, you do withdraw the senses from the objects, that is to say, from all objects of sense gratification. But you immediately engage the senses in the service of the Lord. Whereas in the Ashtanga yoga process, first of all, you do all these things. You withdraw the senses, you concentrate the mind, dharana, and dhyana, and then samadhi. And only at the very end do you actually encounter the super soul. So before there's anything positive about the Lord, you are spending your time withdrawing, neutralizing material activity by sitting still in one place, keeping the eyes half closed. Krishna describes all this in the sixth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. But what we learn from this sixth chapter is that although he describes this Ashtanga Yoga system by Patanjali, you can see that the yoga principles also apply to bhakti yoga. And Prabhupada does that for us in the Bhagavad Gita's sixth chapter, because in this chapter, Krishna says in text 5, one must deliver himself with the help of his mind and not degrade himself. The mind is the friend of the conditioned soul and his enemy as well. So the word in the text all the while is Atma. The Prabhupada said that Atma here is the mind. Atma sometimes in this text means the conditioned soul, sometimes means his mind. See, the word Atma, self, in different contexts means different things. I know I'm not my body, but my language compels me if I cut my hand to say I hurt myself. But I'm not my body. Still, for the practical purposes, I refer to, when I say myself, sometimes I'm referring to my body. So in different contexts, the Atma refers to the gross body, the mind, the individual soul, and also the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who's also Atma. As Prabhupada says, he's the self of all selves. Now in English we can put a capital S on the S, the self, to indicate the Lord, and small s to indicate the jiva. Sanskrit has no capital letters, so you just have to know what they're talking about. So here says, Prabhupada says like this, the word Atma denotes body, mind, and soul depending on different circumstances, different contexts of language. In the yoga system, the mind and the conditioned soul are especially important. Since the mind is the central point of yoga practice, Atma here refers to the mind. So Prabhupada says the mind is the central point of yoga practice. The purpose of the yoga system is to control the mind and to draw it away from attachment to sense objects. It is stressed herein that the mind must be so strained that it can deliver the conditioned soul from the mire of nescience. Mire of nescience means a swamp of ignorance. Mire means mud, the mud of ignorance. In material existence, one is subjected to the influence of the mind and senses. In fact, the pure soul is entangled in the material world because the mind is involved with the false ego, which desires to lord it over material nature. That's by definition what false ego is. My real ego. Ego is the Latin word for I. And so it just means I. But in psychology, they use this Latin word to refer to your identity of your conscious self, your ego. But the ego that we express, we experience, is the materialistic ego that's involved in sense gratification. And so to say about somebody, at least in English, he has a big ego, or even he has an ego, it means he's puffed up. Exaggerated idea. So ego is almost a bad word. So we have egoism, egotist, and so on. For people who are very self-centered and puffed up. So ego is a bad word. And since people sometimes their only experience of being a person or an ego is bad, then they think that spiritual life means to destroy the ego. So Prabhupada is very careful to say false ego. He says false ego because there's a true ego. Because I'm still an individual in relationship with Krishna. But that's who I really am. The person I think myself to be that arises out of the actions and reactions of sense gratification is not the real I. The real I is buried. But when the mind is engaged in concentrating on Krishna, then the false ego dissolves and the real ego comes out in relationship to Krishna and devotional service. We say it's the real ego because the living entity is by nature a servant of Krishna. From the very beginning, is a devotee. That's my identity, my ego. I am the servant of Krishna. My sense of I am is I am the servant of Krishna. That's the real ego. The other ego is I am the enjoyer, I am the controller. When I have that ego, where's Krishna? Nowhere. Or far away. So the mind is involved with a false ego, trying to lord it over material nature. Therefore, the mind should be trained so that it will not be attracted by the glitter of the material world. Just like sometimes babies and crows and things, they're attracted by bright, shiny things. The glitter. So here, you know, the living entity, all the whole world is like bright, shining things. Yes, glitter. Glitter also has the implication that it shines brightly, but when you get there, it's just a little piece of glass. There's nothing real there. It's all show. See that stuff we have on the tree? That's called tinsel. That's hanging down, that glitters, you see? It's called tinsel. So another name for Hollywood is Tinseltown. Because everything it produces is an illusion. And everyone's so absorbed in really false ego, so that's their own name for it, Tinseltown. They just produce illusion. They're all actors and things like that. And then it said in Hollywood, even the tinsel has tinsel. So there's just nothing real there. It's all just this. Because it's tinsel, I mean, it looks just so shiny and bright and everything, but really it's just almost a little piece of nothing, almost. So that's the glitter of the material world. It looks something like, I think we're attracted to glitter because valuable things glitter. Sometimes gold glitters, silver glitters, diamonds, and no fake living. But most everything you see nowadays, and we have a saying actually in English, all that glitters is not gold. Just to remind you, almost everything. And from a spiritual point of view, even gold is just glitter. So that one thing, when the mind is trained, you look on gold and an ordinary stone is the same. So it says, therefore the mind should be trained so that it will not be attracted by the glitter of material nature. And in this way, the conditioned soul can be saved. One should not degrade himself by attraction to sense objects. That's degrading. The more one is attracted by sense objects, the more one becomes entangled in material existence. These are simple sentences by Prabhupada. They're very, very clear. You go to any yoga studio in Philadelphia, nobody else is telling you this. They're all practicing yoga. But here, the basic thing, nobody wants to say. Because also yoga is another glitter. Also a system of false ego. For people, a fashionable thing. It's just like people go shopping to buy things for their false ego. And ladies buy pocketbooks and shoes and so many things. So also there's a kind of subtle fashionable shopping. This is what's happened to spiritual life in America. I go, I take this yoga, I take that yoga, I go to go to some Buddhist and do some things, and I do this and I do this. But it's just another fashion. I have this guru with a fashion item. So just you take what's real and you turn it into false. America's very good at that. Taking everything and turning it into something for buying and selling, for commerce. The best way to disentangle oneself is to always engage the mind in Krishna consciousness. Well, that's the point of bhakti yoga. The mind has immediately this engagement in Krishna service. So this yoga principle needs to be followed. So interestingly, in this purport. Anyway, so Prabhupada goes on. He says, of any quotes from the Amrita Bindu Upanishad, for man, mind is the cause of bondage and mind is the cause of liberation. So the mind itself is not bad. Because it's either the cause of one or the other, bondage or liberation. He's explaining here why mind is the central focus of the yoga system. Most people now who practice this Ashtanga yoga or some variation, Hatha yoga or something like that, they never get beyond the body. In fact, they're usually doing it for losing weight, being strong, being healthy. They never even get beyond the body part. Because Prabhupada says this yoga system is for people who are very bodily conscious. So right away you start with the body because they're into the body. But then you're supposed to go to the mind. And the mind is the really difficult part. They can't control the mind. So it says, for man, mind is the cause of bondage and mind is the cause of liberation. Mind absorbed in sense objects is the cause of bondage. And mind detached from the sense objects is the cause of liberation. Therefore, the mind, which is always engaged in Krishna consciousness, is the cause of supreme liberation. So the whole process is really training the mind. or conquering the mind, and getting control of the mind. Because the next verse, Krishna says, for him who has conquered the mind, the mind is the best of friends. But for one who has failed to do so, his mind will remain the greatest enemy. So this will lie in the process of Krishna consciousness. The first enemy of Krishna consciousness is inside. It's our own mind. And to do that, it has to be controlled. It has to be focused on Krishna's service. Now, what focuses the mind, what takes the attention, puts it here, that's called intelligence, buddhi. There's the mind which thinks and feels and wills. If the mind is thinking, feeling, and willing simply about sense gratification, that's one kind of intelligence. Our intelligence, our focus of our attention is on sense gratification. But when we hear instruction from Krishna, our spiritual master, some authority, to take our attention from the sense object and put the attention on Krishna, see, that's instruction from buddhi. That's why so many places where Krishna's teaching is called buddhi yoga. Because buddhi, Prabhupada describes, in the Bhagavatam, second canto, he says, is the form direction of the super soul. He puts these two words together, form hyphen direction of the super soul. In other words, buddhi, intelligence, is the form in which the super soul gives us direction. It means that we hear from a higher authority and that directs our intelligence. Even material people who are engaged in sense gratification, in some ways, they have also heard from an authority. See, when you come into this world as a little child, you have to have an authority. So who's your authority? Your Adi Guru. You know Adi Guru? Who that is? Is your mother. She's your first, you don't know anything. How are you going to learn anything? So your first guru is your mother. And as a little child, from our mother, from our father, these are all authorities because we don't know anything. We learn this is good, this is bad. These are the words. We learn how to speak our language. And when we take in that language, we also learn, most of the time, sense gratification. They're absorbed in sense gratification, and they absorb us in sense gratification. So we have acquired from our mother and father this kind of intelligence has become our intelligence, our materialistic intelligence. Because usually our mothers and fathers are bad authorities. It says in the Bhagavatam that anyone who's an authority is a natural representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Anyone who has any power over other people is a representative of God, and business is to deliver, responsibility is to deliver the dependents from death. So anyone who's a teacher, any kind of teacher, guru na sashat, one should not become a teacher unless you can do this. The Sanskrit word teacher means anyone, first grade teacher, second grade teacher. No one should be a teacher, no one should be a mother, no one should be a father, no one should be a uncle, aunt, older relative. No one should be a political leader. No one should be a demigod unless that person can deliver the dependence from death. So this means that anyone who's an authority of any kind over other people is the natural representative of God. When those people who are the natural representatives of God actually represent God, then the world works nicely. But the trouble is, most of the time, the people who are the representatives of God are not. So therefore, the children, from their teachers, from their parents, all acquire a materialistic intelligence. And so that the mind is focused. Its intelligence which focuses the mind. It's intelligent. So the mind becomes absorbed in sense gratification. Then you become a devotee, or you meet somebody who actually represents Krishna. They say, no, your mind should be centered on God, should be centered on Krishna. And then that's a big change, because the mind is the place of all habits. So the sense gratification is a habit. And it's very hard to change habits. So this pratyahara, withdrawing senses from sense gratification, is very hard, because we've all become addicted. Better if one never even gets addicted to begin with. But very few people have such a good birth. Prabhupada is hoping that this Krishna consciousness movement, people who are grahastas, they can give that good birth to their children and train them from the very beginning in yoga principles. In this chapter, Krishna says that's the very highest birth. You take birth in a family of transcendentalists, yogis. He said Goswami family. And then he said, but unfortunately, most Goswami families are not practicing. That's the best birth. So that's so Prabhupada says here, the constitutional position of the living entity is to carry out the order of the superior. As long as one's mind remains an unconquered enemy, one has to serve the dictations of lust, anger, avarice, means greed, illusion, and so on. So you're being dictated to. This is our natural position. So people say, I don't want anybody to tell me what to do. I'll do whatever I feel like doing. It means they do what the mind tells them to do. The mind becomes filled with anger. They become controlled by anger. They want money, they become controlled by the desire for money. They want sex, they become controlled by the desire for sex. They want alcohol and tobacco, they become controlled by those desires. And they can't say, okay, today I don't think I'll have any alcohol. Today I don't think I'll have a cigarette. This month I won't have any sex. They can't do it. They are forced, even though they say, oh, this habit is getting me in trouble, they can't control. Just like in America, there's some scandals because these big Christian preachers, several big churches, like 20,000 people belong to this church. And so in secret, although he's a leader, created and made this big church, he has some desire for sex with men. And in secret, he's going and having sex with men. And so finally, this guy tells people about it. And he gets caught. So all the time, he knows it's wrong. He knows he shouldn't do it. But he can't control it. It puts him, so everything in danger that he's doing. He's big leader, all these people are trusting him, he's built this big church, he's got a big position, he was a national organization of evangelical preachers. He was the president of this organization, and he risked it all. He's married, had 5 children, you know. Nevertheless, to go have sex with this man, he paid this man for sex. And so this man, finally, he became a little disgusted, so he told everybody, you know, this guy's coming here for sex. He's a big, big preacher who's against homosexuals. So he's having his homosexual life himself, so he exposed him. And then the other thing came down. Why? Because he could not control this. He was controlled by his mind. He knew better. His intelligence told him, don't do this, this is wrong. He gets up, you know, preaches, this is wrong. But he can't control himself. So therefore, the mind is in control. So one has to conquer the mind. Therefore, there has to be.
Controlling the mind, it means that the mind won't do anything. But Krishna consciousness will teach your eyes to engage the mind.
That's controlling. Now, one side is control the mind, not to make it to do anything, like people do try to do an impersonal thing. That's almost impossible. It really is impossible. Yeah. But to control the mind means to fix the attention on Krishna. To control the mind means, Prabhupada says, but when the mind is conquered, one voluntarily agrees to abide by the dictations of the personality of Godhead. So we have to be dictated to by somebody. So if we're not being dictated to by the mind, we have to be dictated to by some other person. That means the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He tells us what to do. So we have to follow the dictations of the Lord. He said that who is situated in the heart of everyone, as Paramatma. Real yoga practice entails meeting the Paramatma in the heart. Now, that way you do it late, very at the end. But for ourselves, even though we haven't met Paramatma, we have Krishna's representative. We have a spiritual master, we have other spiritual leaders who tell us what Krishna wants. And so we do it. But we know that sometimes we don't want to get up early. We don't want to come to the temple. So the mind is dictating, don't get up. Anyway, you have a cold, and get away with it. But then another intelligence says, no, you have to rise early. You have to give up. And so which order do we obey? Huh?
The one which help us in our spirit.
Yeah, that's right. That's what we should do. But if we're not in controlling them, so this is what it means to control the mind. Or when we sit down to chant japa. So when we're chanting japa, this is our meditation. Here's Krishna right in front of us as the holy name. He's given us his personal name through a chant. This is personal name. It's just like when you get to know somebody, they tell you their personal name. You don't say Mr. So-and-so or even title, president or something. So people, they say God. You know what? That's not a personal name.
Position.
It's just a position, right? It's an office. Or maybe it's a title, Supreme Lord, greatest of all, things like that. Those are not personal names. But Krishna, Rama, Hari, these are personal names. So he's given his personal name. That's the person God is. God is the office, but the person who has this office, that's Krishna. That's a personal name. So that's a very great gift, that you can't say my personal name. Yet somehow or other, when we sit and try to chant that, our mind kind of goes away. It's hard to calm. We have to control the mind. We have to bring it back. We have to focus on Krishna. We bring it back. Why does it want to go away? Because the mind needs to be controlled. It wants to think of various things, absorbed in sense gratification, or just whatever, worry about our problems while we're chanting japa. All these things. We have to control this. Bring it back. When love of God is there, then it stays. It doesn't go away. Then you can't think. You have to think about some problem, and suddenly you're thinking about Krishna. That's the default setting where it always goes. So, but in the beginning, we have to control the mind like that. When Krishna describes this to Arjuna in this chapter, this yoga process, wherever the mind wanders, you bring it back under the control of the self. Right? He says that later on. You remember in this chapter? He's explaining about this. And what is Arjuna saying? Arjuna says, I don't think it's possible. I think it's really, really hard to do. And because Krishna described bringing the mind into control of the self, and then gradually, wherever the mind wanders, yet text 26, due to its flickering and unsteady nature, that's the nature of the mind, one must certainly withdraw it and bring it back under the control of the self. It's flickering and unsteady nature. And so Arjuna picks up on this, and he says, I don't think this can be done. Because the mind is flickering, unsteady, restless, and it's like trying to grasp the wind or control the wind. When you have a big wind, you just get blown over. How can you control it? It's so strong. Right? That's his objection. And Krishna says, yeah, you're right. The mind is like that. He said, but it can be controlled. And then he says two things, abhyasa, And vairagya. By vairagya, detachment. And abhyasa means practice. When you want to learn a musical instrument or learn how to type or learn some skill, you have to practice. Practice means you repeat the same thing over and over again. And then as you practice, you become more and more skillful. And even if you know a skill and you don't do it for some days, immediately your skill goes down. Concert musicians, like people who play piano or violin, they say, if I don't practice one day, I can tell the difference. And if I don't practice 2 days, other people can tell the difference. So he says by constant practice and by detachment. Detachment means that when there's sense gratification, we're attached to sense objects, we're not renounced, then the mind will become like a tornado. Like a wind like that, it blows everything. A Trinavarta. A whirlwind. So the mind has to become peaceful. It becomes more peaceful the less we're attached. And then we have to practice. Abhyasa yoga. And by that practice, Krishna says in the 8th chapter, Abhyasa yoga yuktena manasa. Manasana anyadamina, without your mind going anywhere else. That's what practice is. Keeping the mind from going anywhere else. Na anyagamina. Doesn't go to anything else but Krishna. Param purusham divyam yati. he goes to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He attains the Parashurama of Purusham Paramam Divyam. Why? Anuchintayam. Because he's always conscious of me. So here, this bhakti yoga system is easier because right away, even our exterior senses, we see things. There's this Tulsi, reminds me of Krishna. There's Srila Prabhupada, reminds me of Krishna. There's the deities, there's Krishna himself. There's the flowers that are offered to Krishna. There's the incense that's offered to Krishna. There's the foodstuff that's been offered to Krishna, prasadam. All those things. So when here there's a, he took shelter at a Vishnu temple, that means a place where everything reminds you of Krishna. Even the other people are supposed to remind you of Krishna. Just like this, remind you of Krishna. So when tilak, remind you of Krishna. I remind myself of Krishna. When I put tilak on, other people remind me of Krishna. So they take shelter in this temple. So Prabhupada says, you may live comfortably in our many temples. It's not that austere. People sometimes complain about temple life, but if you want to be one of these yogis who has to go live outdoors under a tree with one cloth in all weather and bathing the freezing cold streams, you'll see how comfortable temples are. So actually the amount of real austerity that we have to perform is by spiritual standards, not very great. So those who are in the temples and engage in devotional service to the Lord, where the Lord's presence is obvious. You go outside, the presence of Krishna is less obvious. That's the place of pilgrimage, the Lord is more obvious. Thus, they can control the mind and senses and achieve the highest success of in life. Also, if we want Krishna consciousness, all facility is given by Krishna. All of us, if we want it, we can have it. Why is this arrangement here in the middle of the West? Because Prabhupada has come and given it to us. So Prabhupada says, this is the process descending from time immemorial. It's always been, you can't figure out when it began. Learning from the life of the Jamyo, we should vow with determination to do what is necessary to follow this path. Notice he says, learning from the life of a Jamyo. Now as you see, a Jamyo was so fortunate he had a second chance. I think we have a little book called A Second Chance. He had a second chance. So all of us should feel by coming to Krishna consciousness, we've been giving a chance that we don't deserve, and we should have determination not to mess it up. We should go back to Godhead. So vow with determination to do what is necessary to follow this path. Ajamya had to see the Vishnu Dutas. We should not, devoting prophets, it doesn't even see them in dreams. Yeah, but he saw the Yamadutas. He had to see the Yamadutas because of his sin. That was so terrifying. So horrible. So a devotee shouldn't see, he will not see the Yamadutas even in their dreams. You notice now people, they go to they watch rock groups, they all look like demons now, like Yamadutas. You see them all the time. Yeah, I started to look. Even demons are like Yamadutas and so on. Yeah, I see them all the time. Okay, any questions? Anything else? Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai. Yeah.